welcome to episode number 25 of Fashionpreneur Talk with Gitana Styling Podcast. My name is Sandra Mateo. I'm a fashion stylist and business consultant. This podcast is about having genuine conversations about fashion entrepreneurship and getting your questions answered. Remember, you can always send us your questions to info@gitanastyling.com. Gitana is G-I-T-A-N-A styling.com. You can remain anonymous if you want, or you can share your name, your business, and your website, and we'll be happy to share with our listeners. We also want to invite you to hang out with us inside our free private Facebook group, the Fashion Entrepreneur Club Hangout, where we provide you with inspiration, support, and knowledge to build a successful fashion business. So today is episode number 25, and we have a fantastic guest with us. Her name is Shannon Lohr, and she's the founder and CEO of Factory 45, which is an online accelerator program for sustainable and ethical fashion brands. She has worked with over 200 entrepreneurs from all over the world to create ethically made products with a focus on environmentally friendly materials. Shannon is super passionate about empowering female entrepreneurs who want to create something that betters the world, and we are so happy and lucky to have her here with us today. Shannon, welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Sandra.
Yay, I'm so excited that you're here. We have so many listeners who are very interested in this topic. They're always sending us questions. So we love having different guests that really are all about this and provide different perspectives, and different tips and things to help them out. So we're super happy that you're here. I want to start the conversation talking a little bit about you and your background. Please share with the audience, a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah, so it goes back to 2010. I decided that I was going to start a business. I didn't know what that business was going to be. I didn't know anything about fashion. I was a journalism major in college, but I had spent 2 years sort of traveling around the world. I was bartending. I was just really cliche finding myself. And, in my early 20s, very lucky and privileged to be able to do that. And so as I was sort of, meandering about, I met someone who became my co-founder. And again, we just sort of wanted to start a business. We didn't know what it was going to look like. Long story short, we stumbled upon this idea of a clothing line that would make up 10 garments that could be worn 100 different ways. And as we started to explore the fashion industry and what it would take to bring that idea to life, mm-hmm. we simultaneously started learning about the effects of fashion on the environment and on the people who make our clothing. So we knew that if we were going to do this, we wanted to do it in a way that was sustainably and ethically made. It didn't harm the people or the planet. And so at the same time, we learned how hard it is to bring a fashion line to life, especially when you're not versed in the industry, you don't have a background in it, you're a newbie reaching out to manufacturers and suppliers. So we ended up, it took us a year to launch our line. We did end up launching one piece that could be worn 30 different ways, which is a whole other lesson in being an entrepreneur and being willing to pivot and not being so married to your original idea that you can't see a better idea in front of you. And so thankfully we realized that we launched pre-sales through a Kickstarter campaign that became the highest funded fashion project in Kickstarter history at that time. And we were featured in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal. It was just like this amazing first run of entrepreneurship. Incredible. And we quadrupled our first production run. It was this great experience. And at the end of it, we realized, whoa, we are so burnt out. We want to do something else. We were friends before we became business partners. So if anyone has had a business partner before, you know that's basically a marriage. Mm-hmm. So we really decided we wanted to keep our friendship intact, and we didn't want the business to get the best of it. So I ended up selling my half to my business partner. She ran the brand for a while, and then I spent about a year consulting and trying to figure out what I wanted to do next, and then that brought me into 2014, which is the current business I run, Factory 45.
Okay, amazing, incredible, incredible journey. So you've been behind the scenes all the way
to, oh, yeah.
to this moment, which I love. And so now what you do is, you know, you help aspiring entrepreneurs launch sustainable and ethical brands. And you have this program called Factory 45. Can you tell us, you know, how do you take people through this process?
Yeah, so Factory 45 is the program that I would have wanted and needed when I was first starting out. I realized through the process of starting my own clothing company that was ethically manufactured in the USA and made of sustainable materials, that it should be easier for new brands and designers to do that. And it really, the doors are not open for newbies like us to go to enter the industry. And so that was sort of the catalyst for wanting to create a program like this, was to really take people by the hand and show them the steps in bringing an idea all the way to launching. And that's what we do. It's a 6-month program. There are 5 modules. We start with people who are truly, like, you can be, you know, not even an idea on paper. It's just in your head.
Okay.
We have some people that are a little bit further along, but we start with sourcing, because it always, that's the thing that takes the longest, is finding your fabric and materials. Mm-hmm. And then we go into branding, building an audience. We do product development and learning about manufacturing and production. Wow. We go into e-commerce marketing, wholesale. And then eventually in module 5, we set up a pre-sales campaign to launch with pre-orders, so that you're not creating inventory without knowing that you have a market and a customer to sell to.
That's amazing, and that's so intelligent. I love that approach, and I wanted to ask you, because that's basically this crowdfunding funding thing that you're talking about with the last module. And, you know, I talked to many entrepreneurs, and a lot of them, you know, it's been a while that crowdfunding has been around, and they're like, you know, this is dead. I don't know how to do it. This doesn't work for me. Like, what's your perspective on this?
Yeah, it's interesting you said that, because I think there is a lot of pushback about crowdfunding now. It seems like so saturated and people are afraid to do it. To be honest, I don't think it matters if it's crowdfunding, if it's Kickstarter, if it's Indiegogo, if it's pre-selling on your own Shopify store. The platform you choose doesn't really matter to me. It's about the strategy of pre-selling. So again, you could do that on your own Shopify store, but it's this idea of having a finite period of time, usually 30 days, sometimes limited inventory, creating this excitement, this launch momentum to pre-sell your first, before you create inventory. So you're pre-selling before you create any inventory, so that you're not stuck with 500 units of a garment that nobody wants, because that's the least sustainable thing you can do. And also, you know, not only for the planet, but for yourself, your finances, your business. So the idea of pre-selling is really to the strategy of getting your customers to essentially finance your production run for you, so that if you don't have $20,000 sitting in the bank to put into a first production run, you don't need it, because you are testing the market, you're proving your concept, and your customers are pre-ordering from you.
Yeah. And what a wonderful tool, right, that we have nowadays with technology, that you can just go to a website or pick a program or have it, do it on your own, like you mentioned, in your own website, and just go on with this. I mean, back in the day, how do you start a brand, right? You gotta raise capital, and it's so crazy. I think this is such a positive spin that you give it to it.
Yeah. I think it's like, it's funny when I still stumble upon like articles and, you know, in the news and stuff of you know, in order to have a successful fashion brand, you must have a celebrity endorsement. Like, it requires $1 million. Like, that's just so old fashioned and just not the case anymore. I've seen time and time again successful brands launch and stay in business and organically and slowly bootstrap and grow their business. So it's just a great thing about technology.
Amazing. So if someone, you know, is listening and they have an idea for an apparel product or a fashion brand, what is the first thing they should do?
So with the logistics, the supply chain side of things, again, sourcing fabric takes the longest usually. So I would say start to reach out to suppliers, start to get swatches in the door. So you're just looking at fabrics, especially if you don't have a background in fashion, to just kind of get an idea of like, okay, this is like what an organic cotton woven feels like compared to organic cotton knit. And just start to educate yourself. And then I would say, simultaneously, you want to be building an audience. This is the thing that everyone always, not everyone, but a lot of people wait too long. They're so afraid, well, I don't have a product yet. Yeah. I don't have any photos. I don't have any samples. Yeah. I can't talk about it yet. Or they're afraid that someone's going to steal their idea. Mm-hmm. And truly, you cannot start soon enough. Take people through the journey. They want to see the behind the scenes. They want to see the sample that you got eventually and it was nothing like your original design and you have to start from scratch again. Like, they want to be a part of that, and that's what creates people who are early adopters and customers when you are ready to sell something.
I agree 100%. Especially, it makes it so there's a real connection there that, you know, you can't build that with just regular old school marketing, you know, like there's the real connection there that it's so powerful. And we have access to it right away with any social media, right, platform or anything. I think that's a big advantage. I agree with you 100%. So, if you know, we have a lot of people who are into fashion, but they didn't go to school for it. But they see so many brands out there, just normal people in their garage, you know, having a fashion company and growing it. What would you tell those people who don't have any fashion knowledge or perhaps no background whatsoever? What's your advice?
I think it's great if you went to fashion school and you have an idea of design and pattern making and sample making, but if you didn't, don't let that stop you. Like I said, I was a journalism major in college. I did not have a fashion background. The majority of people who come through my program don't have a fashion background. They're just people who have a good idea that solves a problem for a specific niche market. And the thing that I teach and I emphasize so much is you don't need to know how to draft the patterns. In fact, you shouldn't be the one drafting the patterns. You're the CEO, you're the founder of your company. So let's outsource to those experts, to the people who have been drafting patterns for, you know, decades, and the people who know how to sew and can create a sample for you. That's what I would say is, you know, you can be the creative, the designer, the visionary, and not need to know the logistics of pattern making and sample making, or you should know the logistics, but not the execution necessarily. I always tell people, educate yourself around the manufacturing industry. That's something that I really emphasize in Factory 45, is getting people knowledgeable and aware of how apparel manufacturing works, because it's not the production partner's job to educate you. It's not the supplier's job to educate you. You have to take that on yourself. But again, don't let the lack of a fashion background stop you from moving forward with an idea.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm so glad you mentioned about hiring, because I see it here locally in Arizona. There's a big community, and you know, there's people who don't have the background, right? And they just get started and it takes them forever to learn everything. Mm-hmm. And then there's the people who really know about fabrics and sourcing and all of that, and then they just take so long to go through the process because they're a, you know, one person shop, right? So yes. I think that's a big thing. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that? Because I feel like they lose so much time, so much momentum. I mean, I know you were wearing many hats at the same time if you're a solopreneur, but there's a moment that you have to like, okay, this, I'm going to focus on this, I'm going to focus on that. And I love that you say that you have to be the CEO. You have to be the CEO, not the worker, you know?
Yeah. And I think the mistake people make is they get caught up in the money. Like, this is the only way I'm going to be able to afford how to do this. I need to do it myself because I can't afford to pay someone to do it.
Yeah.
But at the end, of the day, you're going to end up spending more money because sure. your time is money. So the amount of time you're learning how to draft a pattern or create a sample or sew is time that you could be investing in marketing and building that audience yeah. and making sure that you have a product and a customer base that is going to want your product. So I would say don't let that notion that you have to do everything on your own hold you back, because it will hold you back.
100%. Okay, so in your experience, Shannon, you know, what is needed in this, you know, to be successful in the fashion industry and in your own business?
I think that the first thing, again, is like, we don't necessarily need another t-shirt line. Mm-hmm. We need products and apparel companies and fashion brands that solve a problem mm-hmm. for a specific group of people. So I always say, what problem are you solving? Mm-hmm. And what niche target market are you appealing to? And that's another thing I think people are often afraid of, is to niche down too much, like that they're afraid that they need to appeal to everyone. Yeah. And I always say, if you're trying to appeal to everyone, you will appeal to no one. Yeah. You have to get really specific about who your ideal target customer is, and then aim to solve some sort of problem for them. It doesn't need to be the most obvious problem, right? Like mm-hmm. it could just be you're solving the problem of this woman wakes up in the morning and your garments help her effortlessly get dressed and feel beautiful. Like, it doesn't need to be the most specific yeah. problem, but I really think that communicating that USP, that unique selling point, is so important. And then again, going back to what I said, and I'm always like a broken record when I talk about this, but building an audience before you launch. You cannot rely on, you know, you hit that launch button or you go live on your Shopify store and that all the traffic is just going to rush to your site because you create yeah. one Instagram post.
Yeah, the biggest misconception ever.
Yes, it is. It is. And especially with a Kickstarter campaign, yes. you know, I think that's part of the reason people have kind of like a sour feeling about it, is yeah. there's this assumption that, oh, well, I'll just put it on Kickstarter and then all these people who are just randomly looking through Kickstarter are going to back my campaign. Yes. And at least 75%, if not more, of those Kickstarter backers are going to be a built-in audience that you already created. And that's not to say it's just going to be family and friends. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the people that you have been driving to your email opt-in and yes. building your email list and your social media following yes. and, you know, doing content marketing and guest posts and interviews, all that stuff that yeah. drives people into your community.
Yeah. I found out that that's really the work more mm-hmm. than, you know, you create the product, right? And then you have to really get to work.
Yes, I think that it's a marathon, not a sprint. And that's what you have to remember is, when I started my brand, you know, back in 2010, we spent an entire year just blogging about it. Like we, yeah. and this was like very beginning stages of Instagram. Yeah. And, you know, we didn't even have an email list really until probably 6 months in, but then mm-hmm. we put a lot of emphasis on that. But really, we were talking about our idea yeah. before we even had anything to show for it. Yeah. And when it came time to launch our Kickstarter campaign and to ask people to pre-order and support us, mm-hmm. they were, you know, just like chomping at the bit, ready to yeah. go, because they really wanted to support us because they had been invested in a part of our journey for so long. And those principles still apply today, if not more so.
Yeah, I agree. And let me ask you, Shannon, for people, you mentioned it with your own experience with your friend, with your minimalist brand, that, you know, what about solving that problem and then pivoting, right? Because mm-hmm. you might have a mission today and that mission might change, right?
Yes.
And along the way, and how do you recommend navigating that? A lot of people get stuck on like, this is what I'm going to do, and this is, and you know, they don't listen to the people who are sending them questions or answering, and they're just very stuck on that main idea. What do you recommend for that?
Yeah, so I again, it's like this idea, like exactly what you're saying, is people get so stuck on their original idea that they can't see the better idea in front of them. And so for us back then, with my then co-founder, you know, we were designing this line of 10 pieces. And then we were like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so much time and money to develop, like to do patterns and samples and photography for 10 pieces.
Exactly.
And so we're like, okay, well, we have been doing this for a year. We've been people like want something from us. Like, what can we do that is a lower barrier to entry? Maybe that 10 piece line comes out eventually, but what could we do right now just to enter the market, to get our feet wet, to get customer feedback, to learn from this process? And that's when we were like, okay, it's the same concept, but what if we boil this down to just one signature piece, and it can be worn 30 different ways? And so again, same concept, still on brand, but it was, you know, I think if we had been too afraid to make that drastic change, we would still be today like designing this line of 10 pieces and waiting for all the samples to come back for it. So that was definitely a really important lesson learned and a really important general lesson of entrepreneurship.
100%. And I think maybe because we're used to the 9-to-5 mentality, right? And then you go into this, because I feel like, and I keep pointing out technology and the good parts of it, because I feel like people have the old mindset and they really don't see all the opportunity around it. But I'm saying, if you're a huge brand, established brand, a corporate brand, you know, it's very hard to pivot that way because you have so many processes and people and everything. But for us, we're one Instagram post away, or YouTube video, or Facebook conversation, or live, or whatever, right? And we should definitely take advantage of that.
Yes, there are definitely bad things about technology and social media, but when it comes to starting a business, it is such a tool, an incredible tool to use to your advantage. And so I think the more you can think of it in terms of a lean business model, you'll be so much better off.
100%. Oh, Shannon, this is so great. I'm so glad you came and talked to us about this. I know people are going to have more questions for you. So where can people get in touch with you? Let us know.
So my website is factory45.co. And then I'm also on Instagram at factory45co.
Okay, great. I'll make sure to add those links to the notes so people can contact you. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your experience with us. It was a blast.
Thank you for having me, and it was really fun to talk to you, Sandra.
Thank you, Shannon. Well, guys, that's what we have for you today. I hope that it was helpful. If you like these podcasts, please let me know. Send me an email, a message, or share it with someone who might like it too. Also, if you have a moment, please subscribe to our podcast to show your support. Thank you so much for listening and hanging out with us today. Shannon, I hope you have the best day, and you guys too. And we will see you guys soon. Bye, guys.